Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Open your hearts, loosen your butts. It's time for couples therapy.
Yeah, this podcast is Andy and Naomi's, where they can both laugh and hang with all their homies, talking excellent vacationing with brunches and cuddling, to messy situationships and conscious and coupling, from Netflix hookups to single them with some Hulu, text, sex, regrets, or feeling on your new jubu. They gon' talk about it, yeah, you are invited, needing therapy, I guarantee, baby, we got it.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Couples Therapy. My name is Andy.
And I'm Naomi.
We are a real-life couple.
A real-life couple of comedians.
And on Couples Therapy, we answer a couple different questions from a couple different listeners with a special guest.
Ain't that the truth.
Naomi, who is our special guest today?
Oh, my God, we have someone we adore. Today, we are answering your questions, helping you get your life right with Joel Kim Booster.
Hell yes!
Comedian, writer, raconteur. Can I say that? Joel is amazing. You have seen his Comedy Central special. Perhaps you've listened to his podcast, Urgent Care, with Mitra Juhari.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, are you getting it together is the question. Mm-hmm. Vis-a-vis Joel Kim Booster.
I love Joel. We've known him for how many years? Long time.
Joel is a cool customer.
He's a cool customer.
And I really want to crack that veneer, but I think this episode and the conversation kind of made it clear to me that that's not possible, but I shouldn't take it personally. You know what I mean? And that was good. I think that was important.
It's interesting. Joel's one of the comedians I never thought would become like kind of like a leftist
icon?
Kind of like, yeah, icon. I think that's great. Like, same thing with like John Early.
Yeah.
Where like because the characters they play are like Joel's stage persona.
Are ironic and detached.
Yeah.
Yep.
But in real life, they're actually like are very caring, both John and Joel.
Yes, so, they're galvanizing forces.
Yeah.
That's what I'll say.
So.
And I truly adore them both.
So I hope you enjoy the fun we had. This is funny because half of these episodes, if not more, from this batch were recorded on the cusp of us getting the vaccine.
The what, Andy?
The cusp.
What is that word?
Are you referencing?
I'm so sorry, you guys. I'm doing a callback to literally something that makes no sense, and I'm going to stop.
Doing a callback to the Father's Day phone call I had with my parents, where I called our neighborhood a cusp neighborhood.
Yeah.
And they were like, what word is he using?
Yeah.
It was Norma! Norma, what word was that?
Why do you give him that voice every time? It's not even his real voice.
My dad does not sound like a 1950s Brooklyn Jew.
But anyway, that was dumb what I just did. Anyway.
Cusp.
Yes, these episodes, right, were like
the cusp of us getting the vaccine.
Right.
Because like,
right.
last week's with Jason Butler Harner,
mm-hmm.
JBH, the wonderful JBH. I remember like there was a lot of anxiety about us going back out into the world.
Right. And here we are.
Here we are back in the world. No anxiety. In fact, the only thing, Naomi, that I would say I'm afraid of is, we talked about this before, running into a casual acquaintance. Casual acquaintance.
Uh-huh.
The gray area of existence and
yes.
the most loathsome, anxious kind of interaction.
Okay.
Naomi, you know what we like to do on the show in the intros is we love follow-ups. When we give advice...
Okay, yes, I see what you're saying. That's very true.
When we give advice...
I say we do love a follow-up.
We often get either people writing in saying, like, loved your advice, or it sucked, just like random listeners.
Yep.
Or sometimes the people who wrote that original question...
Yes.
Follow up with us.
Oh, yes. And this is a wonderful follow-up from the woman who reached out during the Ryan O'Connell and Poonam Patel episode, talking about playing roller derby in France.
Although I'd love to see rugby derby, which is rugby on skates.
My God.
But basically, this person was having a kind of like, what would you call it? A queer awakening.
Yes.
While they were playing roller derby.
Yep, a spring awakening.
And but they're in a long-term relationship, and they were like, what do I do? Okay. So, Jen is her name. She wrote us back after we gave our advice.
And she's just offering her name?
Yes.
Love you.
It's an alias, by the way.
Oh, love you, alias. Love you, Jennifer Garner.
Just listen. Y'all are wild. I've never felt so validated and absolutely roasted at the same time. I tell you, Ryan was the first person to roast a listener.
He was. He really changed the game for all of us.
So I work as a primary school ESL teacher, and I was listening while walking from one school to another. Very strange to hear the screenplay of my future boob-grabbing roller derby porno. Because I believe Ryan and Poonam were pitching that.
Yeah.
Then sing, "Hello, how are you?" with seven-year-olds. I did go home and play it for my partner. Yes, including the part where Ryan suggests I'm a full-blown lesbian. Listeners, it was a joke. I don't think so, but who knows? Maybe I'll have a life-shattering realization in my 30s. I'll keep you all updated. Should be getting my second dose of Pfizer in a couple weeks, and no contact outdoor derby practices have just restarted. Here's hoping that'll lead to a future end-of-season party or out-of-town tournament where, well, you know.
Ooh.
I get to enjoy some personal revelations. That being said, I have absolutely no game, and physical intimacy scares me, so it'll be a while. Thanks for the laugh.
Okay, now what I need is then a second follow-up after that, hopefully, end-of-season party or away game.
Yes, I want to follow Jen.
I mean, we already decided this is a TV show. This is a limited series. Mm-hmm. This is a Netflix 3-season darling. You know, forget Emily in Paris, okay? It's roller derby, rugby derby in Paris.
It's Nice. Nice.
So Andy, I can't allow it. I can't allow it. I can't support all of it.
Honestly, I wouldn't support that one either.
Okay, good. We're
I just couldn't think.
Page.
I genuinely could not think of a single other city in France. Normandy?
Sure.
Normandy Derby? Nope. I'm calling that one as bad right away. And then someone else wrote us on Instagram, direct message. Hello, I just listened to the last episode with the caller Jen. Like Jen, I also had my queer sexual awakening after joining roller derby.
Okay, roller derby is hot.
And as a bonus coincidence, I had to get a rabies shot a couple years ago.
What? Anyway, what does that have to do with anything? What does a rabies have to do with roller derby or queer experience?
We may have talked about, I can't remember exactly that episode, we may have talked about rabies.
All right. All right, and if anyone knows what's happening here.
Anyway, please, yes, and then follow up with us, and then we'll read that on another episode where we're like, oh, right, that's what the rabies comment referred to. Anyway, please feel free to give my info if you want to Jen to be a friend matchmaker. She's welcome to DM me. I look forward to your podcast every week.
Wow.
Okay, so I'm going to put this
creating
out. Jen,
friendships.
Jen, if you would like to get in touch with this person, please reach back out, and then I will connect you to.
You know what to do. CouplesTherapyPod@gmail.com. If you or anyone else you know is looking for a friend, just reach out to us, okay? We will connect people via email. But in order to do that, you actually do have to rate and review the podcast 5 stars, and then we will do it. You need
and
to
write
provide
a nice
proof.
Review.
Provide proof.
Hey, Naomi, do you know what another great way to meet a friend is?
What?
Maybe like going to one of your shows and meeting other people in the audience that are fans of yours.
Andy, that is a wonderful idea. And
so how could people do that? How could people come see you do, now that we're back in the world? How could people come see you do stand up?
Well, you guys will have a chance on both coasts. All the LA folks, LA adjacent. You can see me at the Comedy Chateau in North Hollywood. I'll be there July 8th, July 14th, and July 15th. All of those shows, I will be headlining, doing 30 minutes. I have booked all the other comics, and it will be a fun time. Again, the Comedy Chateau in North Hollywood. I'll put up a link. I'll
just
get
give
it
me
together.
A name of one other comic that might be
Solomon Giorgio.
Solomon Giorgio. Wonderful.
Beth Stelling.
Fantastic.
Megan Gailey. Think about
brilliant.
That.
Brilliant.
Now, if you're in New York, you can catch me at Littlefield in Brooklyn, July 27th and August 1st.
Woo.
July 27th, I got Pat Regan, Christy Cielo, Shalewa Sharp.
Damn.
It's going to be fun. And August 1st, coming through with Sydney, Washington, and more. And by and more means I have yet to book them. But just know it's going to pop off. So you got options. Either coast. I'll be putting up the links. You can always follow on Insta, Couples Therapy Pod. I mean, for the info.
Yeah. Great. All right. Well, you know what?
We got it. We got it.
Chapping at the bit to talk to Joel. So
roll it. Joel, it's so good to see your face. You look so well. How have you been?
You know what? It is so funny that you say I look well, because this week has been has done a real number on me. I am struggling. I'm just getting over one of the worst stomach flus I've ever had in my entire life.
What?
When I tell you I had on Tuesday 101.8 fever.
Oh my goodness.
Shitting constantly. Shat the bed. Not once, but twice.
Oh,
and
no.
When I tell you, it changes your relationship with your bed forever.
Yeah.
It is no longer a safe space for you. It is a space that you have shat. And now you know that that is a possibility forever for the rest of your life. And yes, I clean the sheets. I clean the sheets twice.
Of course.
And thank God it didn't reach the mattress.
Oh, my God,
thank God. Because that would be a whole different story.
Yeah,
but,
it's a super fun site then.
But my God, I just... I've been changed. Been changed this week irrevocably. Yeah. I feel like a new person, a worse person, and an unsafe person, quite honestly. So if I rush off this podcast, you know why.
It's because you had to go.
Right.
Yeah.
So the metaphor is correct. When someone like fucks up and they're like, oh man, Deborah shit the bed. It's a very accurate
metaphor. It's very accurate. Yeah.
Now, do you know what you ate that caused this terrible sickness?
You know what? I don't want to call out the restaurant specifically, mostly because
I
don't.
Call them out.
Yamashiro? Yamashiro in Hollywood.
Oh,
okay?
No.
It's a sushi restaurant.
Yeah.
And I want to say it's them. I went there with friends. I don't know if your pod, but of you, Matt Rogers, Bowen Yang, Greta Titelman.
My God, we're a true cavalcade of stars.
Yeah, truly. and I ate some, the only thing that we can think of, because it's the one thing that I ate that they didn't, is bone marrow. I ate some bone marrow.
Yeah.
I was feeling adventurous.
Right.
And that one little bone with its one little bit of bone marrow has caused me not one, but 2 days of just agony. Agony and despair.
I'm so sorry, especially because it's like, you know, we're just getting back out in the world. And so it's like,
I know,
lunch with friends, like this sounds so good or whatever.
I know. I mean, the saving grace is that I'm at least glad that it happened at the beginning of the week. And I sort of feel like by the weekend, I'll be hopefully back 100% again.
Mm-hmm.
But
I just don't
have the time. I just don't have the time. It's like, why couldn't have this happened during the height of Corona when everyone was indoors and I was at home anyways? And,
right.
You know?
But then you would have been paranoid. You're like, wait, is this Corona?
Absolutely would have thought it was Corona. Absolutely. Yeah.
By the way, I'd like to point out that you were like, oh, no, I don't want to name them. Immediately, the minute I started chanting, it took 1 second for you to fold. 1 second.
The only reason I didn't want to name them is because I was almost not sure of what the name was. But then I said, even if it's not the right name, I'm going to name someone.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. I got food poisoned myself to the point where I went to the hospital because I'd never been food poisoned before. I made a stir fry. So this is, I've been vegetarian 20 years ago. This had to have been 20 years ago. I really want to do the math.
Okay, do you know how well you're doing if you have to go back 20 years to the last time you were
seriously.
Food poisoned?
The listeners demand accuracy. Do you know how many emails and messages I get if I don't accurately tell them what year I was food poisoned, Naomi?
Wow, yep. I know. A lot of reply guys.
A lot of actuaries in the audience. But I checked every small piece of chicken in there. I cut open, and I must have missed one. And I was in agony. I'd never been food poisoned before. I thought I was dying. And my girlfriend at the time was, she was evangelical.
You had a girlfriend before Naomi?
That's what I say. That's what I say. But can you imagine evangelical? Andy with an evangelical.
My friend at the time.
What, are you going to be a Jew for Jesus?
My pal at the time, who was for some reason was in the bed next to me. Uh-huh. I was dying. Things were coming out of every orifice that possibly things could come out of. And she was like, "Should I pray for you?" And I mean, I was an asshole at the time too, by the way. Let me just put that out there, so it doesn't sound like I'm like a great person for what I just said next. And I said, I grabbed my wallet from the thing, I threw it, and I go, "No, fuck that! Call my fucking doctor." and I went to the hospital, and it was just food poisoning. And then
what can they do for you? Because I thought about, I was like, if my fever goes up one more fucking degree, I'm going to go, I'm Ubering to the hospital myself.
Yeah.
But then I thought, like, what can they do for food poisoning?
Nothing. Nothing. Yeah. What they can do, though, is run a lot of tests on you to charge your insurance. That's what they can do. And what they did to me, because they knew it was food poisoning, but they're like, we'll give you a CAT scan just in case. here's a spinal tap. Who knows?
They'll give you like an IV. Like at best, they're like, "We'll give you fluids if you're dehydrated." In which case, you're like, "All right, I could have bought some Gatorade." But it's truly, they're like, "But it's, you're right though. If your fever goes too high and doesn't go down, then yeah, you're gonna want them to look at something." You know what I'm saying? But I'm just glad you're still here with us. And you've made it through.
And you know, I gotta talk to you about fevers really quickly.
Using this as an open mic for your for when you go back in the world.
I was doing some research on fevers because I was like, why is my fever so high and I feel so cold? That's annoying. I prefer when I have a fever and I'm hot because that makes sense. Yes. But then I was reading, they're like, when you're shivering and you're cold, don't put on more layers. Don't like get under blankets. Take a lukewarm cold bath. Because putting on more layers will only make the fever worse. And I was like, this is outrageous.
This is really outrageous.
That there is nothing to be done about this. I feel cold as hell right now.
Yeah.
Uncomfortable. Yeah. And you're telling me I should strip down and take a lukewarm bath?
That's insane.
Science needs to figure itself out.
Science needs to get it together.
Stop being counterintuitive. Okay, the Earth is this. Obviously, the sun goes around us. All right, stop it with the counterintuitive shit. Stop these diagrams that show me the sun's the center of the galaxy.
All these years of fever research, and your remedy for me, WebMD, is a lukewarm bath.
Honestly, science has not advanced much since 1902.
No, okay? It hasn't.
Like a lot of it,
really hasn't.
It was like a long time where it was like, you're on your own. And then like early 1900s, they were like, okay, drink some vodka. We're going to cut off your leg. They kind of started to do some stuff.
Right.
And then it was
Copernicus to 1902.
Right.
And then
they kind of got some stuff done, especially after like WWI. They were like, wow, everybody's coming home with their face half blown off. We got to figure something out.
And that's where they build masks.
And then they build masks.
That's when they saw on Boardwalk Empire.
They kind of get some prosthetics. And then they're like, I don't know what else to do. And then like for a hot minute, they cure polio in the 50s. And then it's kind of been you on your own ever since.
Mm-hmm. It seems like they're tackling sort of like the bigger issues like, oh, like your cancer. Let's look at HIV, stuff like that. And I get that. And I think that's all very important. But I would like an answer to make myself not feel cold when I have a fever.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Is it because you're because the fever makes you radiate warmth? That's why you're cold?
No, it's something about your internal thermostat is fucked up. So like that is as far as I can go.
Right.
To explain.
So you feel cold, but you're not actually. Your body is just messing up.
Your body is just,
I see.
Haywire.
Yeah, you're getting the wrong signals.
Yeah.
Your body is me in high school with a girl I like.
Mm-hmm.
I was just going to say your body is a wonderland.
You're getting the wrong signals. You think you're getting one signal and you're not. By the way, I want to just go back for a second for all the reply guys. I know I said center of the galaxy. I meant solar system.
Stop it. Joel, did you date girls in high school?
Let's see. I sort of dated girls in junior high. And I went to homecoming. The first homecoming before I came out, I went with a girl.
Okay. Okay, but you came out. Oh, you came out in high school. For some reason, I thought it was later because
no, I came out
your parents
when
were religious.
I was 16. October, like truly right after Homecoming, my junior year of high school.
Oh, okay.
I have to say my prom date is actually a man. They're a trans man.
Oh, okay.
Now. So there was a lot going on in that situation. We kissed at the end of the night. And I think we were all in that moment, both of us realized a lot of things about ourselves. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny. What you grew up like in the countryside?
No, not necessarily. Well, it's so weird. I grew up in a suburb of Chicago that is both half and half country and suburb. It's like as far out southwest as you can be and still be considered a suburb of Chicago. There were lots of fields.
Yes.
There were lots of country farm.
Yes.
Like people. But then there were also like those big box subdivisions. Lots of strip malls, Targets, and things like that of that nature that suburbs are known for. But it wasn't like full on country, but there were definitely farm kids.
Well, because I remember seeing pictures of you, like, you know, you posted pictures you young,
and you were like a tractor with a piece of wheat.
Yeah, like, and you like in the field where I was like, oh, but well, I was like, that was more country than I thought. But that's
that. That is probably because so my dad, he worked for a tractor company for over 40 years, like almost 50 years. And he grew up on a farm. And so some of those might be from my dad's childhood farm that he grew up on.
Okay.
But he also like, I don't know, he would take us to like tractor shows growing up all the time. And
oh
so
God.
Some of it might be from there.
Multiple tractor shows? I'm so sorry.
Tractor
What's happening
shows?
At a tractor show?
You're looking at tractors. You're climbing at tractors. That's it. That is it.
Is it fun at all? Is there anything fun at a tractor
show? Not for me.
Yeah.
Not for me, bitch. Not for a glamour bitch like me. I was not there for the tractors, okay?
Right.
They had some good snacks though. There was like fair food.
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
That's what I'm going to these things for. If there was one thing you could do, not to put you on the spot, if there's one thing you could do to make a tractor show more fun, what do you think you would do?
Yeah.
Like theme park esque musicals, you know, like where like there's like show choir, you know.
Costumed, like musical numbers.
No. Like the Disney has like a Frozen musical that you can go and see at the park.
Yeah.
Or at the Harry Potter show, they have the Banshees that come out and do like musical numbers and stuff like that. Something a little flashier than just looking at the tractors and observing the tractors harvest.
Yeah. If I could pitch this, American Gothic, the musical. So, you know, the like the old farmer with the pitchfork and his wife. So turn that into a musical.
Anything would have been better.
Anything. That's, wow, a tractor show. You've really lived. You've lived, Joel.
Yeah.
I have had a life, that
you
is
have
for
been,
sure.
You have been on all sides.
You grew up, like, I can't help but, like, retain some of Pennsylvania in me, right? Do you have any of that in you still?
Oh.
Like, this rural tractor life?
Absolutely, I do. I think I have an affinity for a big box store. There is no, like, walking into a Target is like wrapping myself in a warm blanket, you know. It is home for me. It is where I feel safest. And that's like a big part of, I think, suburban culture for me. And like, I think I've held on to a lot of like my Midwestern sort of, I'm pretty passive aggressive. I'm not confrontational. I'm pretty polite. I like to get to know, like, I'm very friendly in a Midwestern way. Like, you know, I talk to everybody. I think there's a humbleness. Like, I'm not a humble person, but there is a humbleness about me that is.
Wait, what do you mean?
Midwestern.
You're not humble, but there's a humbleness about you.
Like, cause I know I'm the shit, but like, I don't bring it up, you know? If I'm standing in a circle of people talking, you know, and they're like, yeah, I've got this going on. I wait for someone else to bring up what I've got going on.
Yes.
You know? I'm not volunteering it because that's uncouth.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm the same way.
That's gauche.
Like, Yeah, it is. It's not I don't like the culture of bragging, especially that's out here, where it's just like, unless the same thing where it's just like, unless you're at, like, we're good friends, I kind of don't care.
Yeah,
what you're doing.
And nobody, and that's the thing, nobody cares too. That's why I don't say anything, because it's like, you don't care. Mm-hmm. And if you did care, I would actually be suspicious of you. Why do you care? You don't know me. Why do you care what I've got going on?
Right. You're like, it's like, what is your game? What is your angle?
Yeah. What? Yeah. Why are you trying to suss this out of me? I feel, and I don't know what this is, if this is Pennsylvania or something, but there's a lot of distrust. Like, I feel a lot of distrust for if someone is trying to get this information out of me. I'm just, what are you, CIA? What are you trying to get this from me for?
What are you, CIA? Joel, it's interesting, though, when you're saying, like, people don't care and how you're like, you don't bring it up. I will say I do think of you as a private person emotionally. Like, really? I feel like we would just, like, you know, chit-chatting. Like, I mean, again, you're about town. You know what I mean? Like, you're popular. You can work a room. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, what is Joel feeling inside? I don't know if I've ever known. And I wonder if, like, that is also a little Midwestern kind of, like, keep it close.
Yeah.
Don't worry about me. I don't want to talk about it. I'm fine. Like, is that kind of...
I definitely think it's that. And I also think, like, I was a very emotional person growing up. And I think my parents were sort of like, don't do that a lot. And I think that damaged me. That damaged me. And so I try to keep it under wraps as much as possible. There's a lot going on behind these little eyes when I'm at a party, you know, like, it's tough to sort of be present sometimes because I'm thinking there's a lot going on in the inner life portion of my night that is not being projected to the rest of the party.
Right, so. Right.
The outside is the first part of name for me that famous movie, Wizard of Oz. The outside is the first part of Wizard of Oz, and then inside your head is her in Oz.
Technicolor,
it's all,
baby.
Yeah, it's all in color. See, the metaphor. Look, it was totally worth it. What a great metaphor.
Was.
I would say number two behind shitting the bed. Great metaphor, number one. Number two, Wizard of Oz metaphor.
I think
perfect.
That's correct. I mean, I'm a Pisces, and, you know, we're dreamers. We're in our heads, you know.
Wait,
but
are you a Pisces?
I am.
Yes, you are a freaking dreamer in your head. Oh, my God. That's accurate. I didn't realize it's a Pisces thing because you do live in your head, Andrew.
I do. But where does that, for you, where does that energy go, right? Like, there, all that, those, for me, it's I live in my head, but, like, all the emotions I'm feeling, I've been through therapy now, so it's a little different. But, like, I think in those times, I was just, like, they were happening in my body, and I was just, like, looking at them through, like, a viewfinder type thing. And I was like, oh, well, that's fun. They're happening over there, and I'm not expressing them. Do you do that same thing, or are you actively repressing them, and then it comes out, and then the energy comes out differently?
They go on the page, baby. They go on the page. I mean, that's, I'm being obnoxious, but it's true that to some extent. And then it also rears its head in very toxic ways. I think, like, it builds and builds and builds and builds. Like, a lot of some of the more negative stuff builds and builds and builds until I act out in really toxic and negative ways. Only with people that, like, I have the credit to get away with it with.
Yep.
My manager, very close friends, people I know won't leave me, you know?
Right. Well, but I know you were joking about on the page, but I do remember, like, when you and I met at the gay bar therapy in Hell's Kitchen for stand-up, you were in Chicago, and weren't you, like, getting a degree in creative writing?
No, I was out of school by that point, but I was writing a lot.
You're writing.
In Chicago. I was a playwright in Chicago.
Okay, then that's what I'm thinking of. You were a playwright, I just assumed it was for school. Okay, no. So you were... Okay, so right. So, like, you started out as a writer before you were a stand-up, right?
Yeah. I've been writing was always, like... But when you're little and you don't really know, like, all the different jobs necessarily, like, and you start with the, sort of the umbrella job, and the umbrella job for me was, like, writer from a very, very young age.
Yeah. I was that same way too. And now that I actually do it, I don't want to do it. Like, when I was little, that's exactly what I wanted. And, like, I would always, like, the go-to gift, like, any birthday, people would just give me journals, you know, and, like, pretty notebooks and stuff. Like, that was the go-to. And I have so, I still have them all and so many. And my mom was always like, you're going to write a book. You're going to write a book. And then I sort of dropped it when I started doing stand-up. Like, that was the writing I was doing. I wasn't, you know, doing stories and plays and movies and all that. And it's just interesting for something that I was so obsessed with. Don't you think there's a difference when you're doing stuff when you're young before you kind of know the limitations?
Yeah.
You know? And I think once I knew the limitations, I was like, oh, this ain't this fun.
Yeah. I mean, COVID done fucked me up too. Like, I can't, I feel like I have the yips, like, major, like, to write a joke, to write, you know, rewrite a script, to do anything right now. I'm so fucking useless. I feel like I don't know if it will come back or when it will come back, but it is not this period has not been a creative outgrowth for me.
No. Well, because you're I mean, I don't know about you, but like, I'm terrified all the time. I mean, now it's better, but like, over the last year, there was the pressure to survive, right? To like the fear of like walking outside and being like, something could kill me. If I touch this package, I'll die. Even though I know like that was a very small chance that was going to happen. But without that omnipresent fear, I think it gives you more space in your mental life.
For me, it was less fear. And for me, it was more about like lack of stimulation.
I was going to say, that was it. Yeah. No stimuli coming in.
I just needed to be around people and bopping around and like have those moments at the party where I'm in the corner with the inner life, you know, rolling.
Mm-hmm.
And there just wasn't those moments. I was trapped alone and I'm not that interesting to be trapped with, honestly.
Can I ask both of you guys a question? Because you started out, you know, you want to be writers and then you are obviously both great performers. Was it, when you were younger, was it just that you felt like, that's not for me? I don't think I can do that. I don't think that I don't think I'll be able to perform. I don't think I'll be able to do that for a living. So I'm going to, I think about it as like writing to the budget, right? Your brain, your existential self writes, in quotes, to the budget you have. And if you don't think you can be X, Y, or Z, your brain just goes, oh, well, I can't do that, so I won't even try.
Yeah, I mean, it is so funny. That's definitely part of it, but it is so funny that for me anyways, like, I was like, I'll never be able to be an actor. Writing, that's a more realistic goal. Like, what a fucking idiot. Like, just as hard, if not in some cases more difficult.
Right.
That was a big part of it, I think. It also just felt like writing was something like performing was like such a to do, you know, like you had to, like, when you're young, like if it has to be the school play and you have to audition and you have to like do all these things and the process of it all was, and writing was just like something you could like sit down in front of the computer and do and just fuck around, you know? Mm-hmm. And so the barrier to entry felt easier. Writing,
and I think that is part of it. That's why we're not stupid, because it's like, because the barrier to entry is easier, you're like, oh, well, then I could probably do this for a job. If the job is just me sitting at my computer or me with my notebook, well, sure, who's gonna stop me? Whereas acting, the problem has always been that you have to be chosen by someone else just to even do it. Like, literally, if you'd like, I could, I guess, do a monologue in my house, but that's not the same. Like, if you want to actually be in front of people, someone else decides that for you,
right?
And that's sort of the problem. And I definitely think for me that was it, because even like when I started writing like movie stuff and TV stuff, it was about, I mean, I always say, though, I grew up in the 90s when there was a lot of black TV, so that's where like my desire to be an actor came, when I was little and I was like watching shows and I was like, ooh, a different world, I want to do that. And then like, but when I started writing, I was like, obviously older than that, where I was like, well, if I want to be in something, I'm going to have to write it. And that's kind of how it started for me. And it was like, that was it. And like, oh, I want to write. I remember too, like, I loved horror movies and there were never like black people in horror movies. And like, remember Scream, when that movie was really popular, and all, and what's the word? I Know You Did Last Summer, like all that kind of things. So like, one of the first movies I wrote was a horror comedy. And literally it was just like, and it didn't even have to be me. I was just like, can there be black people also running from a murderer and maybe making it till the end? Like, that was the kind of shit I wanted to do.
Absolutely, yeah.
But, Joel, we're going to answer some relationship questions in a little bit.
You got so serious. Joel.
I really, in my mind, sometimes I'm just like, oh, I really want to be like a serious interviewer. So maybe I should like practice those chops and just be like, Joel. Now, it says here. No. But like, but I am curious, you know, what is your relationship status right now? What has been your relationship stati in the past?
I've been without, I have not seriously dated somebody since, like, I have not been Facebook official boyfriends with someone since I was 20. Like, I have not introduced someone as like, this is my boyfriend since I was 20 years old. I dated a guy for roughly 3 months in 2016. And that was like probably the last significant period of dating that I have had. And I've been through phases where that's where I've been like sort of seeking it out. And I would say for the last several years, for the last like 4 or 5 years, maybe even, I've been pretty happy being solo, and I've been really enjoying being solo. I've been enjoying it a lot. And I would say as recently as 3 weeks ago, I decided I'm not necessarily looking, but I'm open. I'm open to the idea of someone coming into my life. Mostly because, you know, I went down to San Diego with a couple of vaccinated friends to celebrate my friend's 30th birthday. And he's a really close friend of mine. And he's been with his boyfriend for almost 2 years now. And I like the boyfriend a lot. And I got really close to the boyfriend on this trip. And observing them so close up for the first time, it really was one of those things where it was like, I saw the model of a relationship that I felt could work for me for the first time in a long time.
Okay.
And it was like aspirational in a way that I was like, okay, I've had this idea of like what a relationship would be like, and that's why I've been avoiding it. And now seeing this relationship, I'm sort of like, oh, I could do that. If I could find someone like Kevin, I would
be in a relationship.
In a relationship.
Well, what did you think a relationship was like, you know, before?
For me, I guess like I thought it would be a lot of like I really enjoy my freedom. I really enjoy my freedom, and like I enjoy not sort of being tied down. I love that not having to check in with anybody. I enjoy sort of taking care of myself and not having to feel like I'm an extremely jealous person. And so I feel like I don't, and I just never wanted to become possessive of another person, and like that just feels gross to me. And it felt like it would sort of narrow the scope of my life in a very specific way. And you know, it's interesting, like I've been somebody, we were talking the whole trip about this idea of like flower and gardener, like every relationship has a flower and a gardener.
Yeah.
Who's the flower and who's the gardener in your relationship?
Who you think, Joel? Who you think is the flower and the gardener in this situation?
Andy is the gardener and you are the flower.
Indeed.
And I've always thought of myself as like, I don't know. I was like, for so long, oh, I'm a gardener because I'm a gardener for myself. I've been gardening my goddamn self for so long. And I wouldn't even know what a gardener for me would look like. And then I finally decided like, no, maybe I am ready to be a flower, you know, like maybe I'm ready to let go a little bit and let somebody be the gardener. And, you know, it doesn't, you know, I think like I've had a lot of thoughts about monogamy versus non-monogamy and would I be able to handle it? And like, I've come to terms with the fact that I think I can, and like, I want to, and I want to, there's freedom in it. And like, it would just have to be a very specific kind of connection. I also am just like frustrated because like, I think like I have like 3 things that I want in a guy, you know, what? I want them to be comically hot, okay? Mm-hmm. I want them to not think that homeless people are intrinsically disgusting, which you would be surprised how often in LA, within 15 minutes of meeting a guy, they will drop how disgusting they think homeless people are. And that is, wow, that is like a shorthand for just like my general political, like
yeah, right.
Like have empathy, you know, like, right, you, yeah, don't have to have voted for Bernie, but like have empathy, you know, like that's all I need from somebody. And they just need to do as many drugs as I do on the weekend, you know? Okay. And like, and that's a tall order, because the people that do as many drugs as I do on the weekend are the guys that are like, oh, the homeless situation is out of control in LA. And then it goes to, they just need to get rid of them. Not, we should be giving them services, you know?
Right.
And then the guys that do care about the homeless people that I meet working with, like CELA or K-Town for All, are just fucking nerds. No offense.
No, no. Yeah, I'm in DSA. No, I don't. Yeah.
You know? And I just need to find somebody in the middle there.
Uh-huh. Right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's, by the way, can I just say, I'm not only the gardener, I'm also the florist and the fertilizer wholesaler and the rainwater in this relationship, just FYI.
You guys need to know, speaking of rainwater, Joel is hydrating from a full jug of water, okay? I need you guys to know that that's happening.
Listen, I need to rehydrate, because the stomach flu, it really, it dehydrates you.
I thought it was just... from you, like, being a healthy, fit guy. I don't know if we even forgot. Like, would you just have that anyway? You know what I mean?
No. I got this specifically because I was so debilitated. I Postmates. This was a part of a gigantic Postmated beverage order because I couldn't get up and keep going back to the sink to refill and come back to my bed. It was too much. So I just needed... I was like, get me these jugs of water that I can keep next to my bed so that I can just like chug water and not have to worry about it, which you know, is more plastic out in the world, I get it, but
this was extenuating times. Exactly, yeah. Extenuating circumstances.
So you saw your friends and they have a non-monogamous working relationship.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that kind of like, oh, okay, so this is
possible.
Oh, I didn't
know it was non-monog.
I just assumed.
It was non-monog. I would say most of my gay friends have non-monogamous relationships to a certain extent. And some of them I like look at and I'm like, that wouldn't work for me. But this one, I was like, this is exactly what I would want to work for me.
That's so interesting, because when you're saying that you're a jealous person, because that for me is why I could never do non-monogamy, mm-hmm. because the idea of my partner with somebody else is very, like, upsetting. Like, I wouldn't be cool about it. You know what I mean?
Right.
But you're saying you were jealous, but you're like, is it like you're not jealous as long as you guys are kind of both doing the same thing?
No, I think it's like, as long as the way that Kevin... makes Chris the focus of like his attention
mm-hmm.
is so specific. It's so specific in a way that like is so reassuring, I think. Mm. That it's like no matter what he's getting off to, like he's sort of like, cuz Chris is like, I can't believe I'm using their real names. Whatever. They're never going to listen to this.
Yeah, it's very vague. Also, we don't know. It's very vague. Yeah. It's like Chris is our dime a dozen.
Chris Pratt,
and Kevin Costner.
Mm-hmm. But like Chris is the one who's sort of like bouncing around boy to boy, you know, and Kevin is sort of like standing back off to the corner and sort of nodding approvingly and, and you know, saying like, go you, like, but Chris like sort of, as he's zigzagging through these men, like is always every other zig zagging back to Kevin to sort of like check in. And that would be me. And Kevin mm-hmm. is getting it. Kevin is getting his life too, by the way.
Yeah.
He's
yeah.
not just standing off into the corner.
Right.
But I
right,
think
right.
like the way he's sort of makes Chris the focus and like is so important. It's mm-hmm. not a comp. It doesn't feel competitive. Mm. It doesn't feel like, I don't know, like, it doesn't feel like a compromise. It just feels like they're both sort of living their life, but they deeply, deeply love each other on a real level. Mm. And you know, it's not to say that my other friends who have open relationships don't have, loving, deep relationships, but it's just like the specific contours of their relationship made it make sense to me.
Yeah.
In a way that made me feel like, okay, I'm not necessarily out there in these streets looking for a boyfriend. Like, I want one now, but I was ready to go. I was ready to just be single forever, honestly. Mm. I really was. But now I see sort of the appeal of a companion in that way.
Okay, now here's the question, though, because you're just a gorgeous man. So I'm assuming, honey, you don't have a hard time taking a lover. Now, then the question would be sort of, you know, for you where you're like, I'm not really trying to do a relationship, like I'm kind of committed. You know, have you had problems with people wanting more from you than you wanted to give to them?
Yes and no. I'm pretty upfront about, like, when I sleep with a guy, I'm like pretty upfront about like what it is. And, I'm a one and done sort of guy. Like I don't even really have that many regular fuck buddies. I am sort of just like, you're in, you're out. Goodbye. Good luck to you.
Good luck. All the best.
Take a gift bag on your way out.
And there are many guys that I remain friends with, but don't sleep with ever again, you know? And like, that's another like thing that happens. I think it's like tough in LA. I think it's really tough in LA to like, there's just no focus. Like unless you really click and vibe with someone like in a very specific way, like everyone's looking for the next best thing. You know?
Huh. Yeah. I believe that. It's like, that is what this town is kind of predicated on, the next best thing. The idea of finding that, whatever it is, and kind of being first to it in all kind of ways. So that does not surprise me, but
I'm a very big proponent of I'll know when I know, and it will be an immediate sort of recognition of somebody of like, oh, you are my person. And I don't think that it'll be something that will take like 3 dates to get there. I'm not somebody that likes to date. I'm just not.
Oh, okay.
I'm not somebody who likes to go through those motions. Like, I think it will happen very quickly and very like fast and furious, like drive over the ledge onto a train, onto a rocket, up to the moon sort of vibe.
Yeah. So you're kind of a romantic at heart, really, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I am.
Yeah.
It's interesting how that's a mix, because like, you know, we all are in some way reacting to kind of like heteronormativity, right? And the kind of just like monogamous, like everyone has to be monogamous. Everyone has, this is how things are. And it takes if you don't want to do that or you don't know, right, it takes a while to kind of like figure that out because everything is screaming that at you. And it's interesting, though, that there's this mix, this kind of like almost traditionalist mix in you, right, of like this kind of like old school romantic, but also of like, oh no, but I kind of know right now, I understand like what kind of non-monogamous, the shape of the non-monogamous relationship that will fulfill me. I just think it's an interesting mix. There's no question there. It's just
it is. It's very like, it's Tractor Show plus NYC West Village.
Right.
You know, he's living as
exactly.
both. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's very real.
Tractor Show, but make it fashion.
Tractor Show with a musical number. Okay, I think on that we're going to take a break and then we'll come back and answer some people's relationship questions.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promote for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com. Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, y'all. Wanted to pop in real quick and let you know that if you like what you hear and you want to support the show, there are a couple different ways.
Most of our support comes from our wonderful Patreon community. For $5 a month, you get 2 bonus episodes of just us mostly spilling the tea and occasionally searching for crazy bread in Los Angeles, plus lots of other bonus content. We love our page pals, and we couldn't do this without you. And if you want to join, go to patreon.com/couplestherapypod.
We also have merch, which includes Gotta Miss a Bitch and Jubu t-shirts, yeah, which you can find in the link tree in our Twitter or Insta bios.
And for absolutely $0, you can rate and review the show on Apple.
5 stars, please. It'll only take 10 seconds, and it helps us tremendously. Okay, that's it. We love you deeply. Now back to the show.
And we're back.
We're here with Joel Kim Booster, and honey, we now know. We know where Joel's at. We know what Joel is going through. We know where his heart and soul lie. Now we can help you handle your scandal, honey. Now, Joel, we get questions. People come through. They slide into our DMs on Instagram, on Twitter. We also get emails at couplestherapypod@gmail.com. My most favorite voicemails, okay?
I the voicemails
let you know where they're at emotionally, but we're going to start off now with a tender email.
Right. We do have some voicemails. I want to point that out, but yep. And you'll hear why this was not a voicemail. So this comes to us anonymous over Instagram. Ooh. Hi, Naomi and Andy. Love the podcast. I would send a voicemail, but I loathe the sound of my voice. Loathe in all capitals. So I have a close friend that I see weekly for the new episode of RuPaul's Drag Race.
Interesting.
Usually when I'm there, we'll also discuss our love lives and gossip about boys. At the beginning, I loved it. Now it drives me crazy. My question is, I'm adding the emphasis, by the way, on a lot of these. My question is, how do I tell my friend I want to talk about literally anything else than boys all the time? He will text me about guys he's met on apps, asking me if he should hook up with them. He's even sent me pictures of them at the gym. I care about this friend, but I'm so constantly drained from hearing about men, whether at his apartment or over text. What should I do? Thanks, Anonymous.
Say, I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, I think, like, in fact, like, the exact verbiage of, like, oh, man, I'm feeling so drained right now is, like, so, I think, like, the way to handle it, you know? Yeah. Like, because it's not, it's not an attack, you know? It's not, like, framing it as, like, you're doing this to me. It's that I'm feeling so drained from talking about men that I need a break, you know?
Yeah, you're
and
right.
I think that's totally fair to be like, moratorium on X topic for now until further notice. I just can't do it right now.
Yeah.
Do you have friends that won't shut up about a certain topic? I think about out here specifically, like there are people who are like complete creatures of the business. And so you talk to them and all they're talking about is points on the back end or whatever.
Points on the back end. Good God.
I also think there's like every time he texts you about a boy, like just redirect. Be like, I don't know. Anyways, how about blah 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 blah? You know? Just true. Stop engaging. If you stop engaging, then he has no choice but to stop engaging with you on that.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. That's true. If you want to keep them as a friend. I was thinking like the people who like are only like one topic friends. I don't know what not a great term, but the ones that are one topic friends, I just don't talk to them. I just stopped talking to them because like I'm just like, this is not interesting. This is not fulfilling me in any way. I don't think they're excited about talking to me if this is all they want to talk about. If all they want to talk about is their manager or whatever.
Or or like look at this guy from the gym. I mean, but then it's interesting because when someone asks a question like that, where to me the answer is, as we're saying, like, say, hey, I don't want to me there's this follow-up of like, why is this a question you need to ask us? Meaning, are you afraid of this guy? Is this a person who is very mercurial or defensive or, you know what I mean? Like, there's something in their dynamic that makes that not straightforward.
Yeah, because that is, it's the obvious answer, you know? Yeah. Like, he knows that.
Yeah. Right.
He knows that answer.
So, what's the question behind the question then?
Exactly. And I think it's like, this friend is like maybe a little tough to push back on, maybe.
Or maybe he's in love with his friend.
That's – I thought that. That's what – I'm rereading this now. And when you guys said that, I'm just like, I wonder if there's – something romantic.
But there's nothing in the question that says anything about romance.
In Anonymous's. I know, but like why – like we all knew the answer immediately. So why was that step not taken? Right?
Yeah.
Because this – I wonder if there's something more there.
Hmm.
Right, because they're not. Yeah. The thing is, like, can we not talk about this? Like, there's two things: either you stop talking to them, or you say, "Can we not? For once, can we please not talk about this?"
Mm-hmm.
Or I like Joel's other thing is like, just keep redirecting. But even that seems like it's
could be too subtle, depending.
Yeah,
on the person.
Too subtle, and just like. Not, you know, if this is a real friend of yours, you should be able to like say like, Jesus Christ, can we please stop talking?
I get it. You're horny. Can we please?
It's a good t-shirt, by the way. I get it. You're horny. But yeah, I wonder if there's something romantic where they're sick of hearing about boys because they want to be that boy.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That would be beautiful, quite honestly. Then I need them to write in with another question, which is, I have a crush on my friend.
Tell mm-hmm. them your feel. Tell
update.
Them.
Update. If it's us, safe, please.
If you feel safe in this friendship and you don't think it would ruin it, I say say it to them in a non-confrontational way.
Now, on your podcast, Urgent Care, which you co-host with Mitra Juhari, you guys are obviously answering cues as well and like mm-hmm. handling people's scandal. I imagine you guys are both very direct when you're like answering people's questions. Like there's no like, I'm going to hold your hand. It's like, get it together. Right. Like that kind of like straightforward energy. So it's like, you know, but do you have people though? Like, because you said earlier, right, where you're like, oh, I kind of only act out with the people I know I can get away with it with.
Yeah.
Like, I don't, there are friends, I have friends where it's like, I love them to death, but I like wouldn't talk to them about like problems I have with them, where I wouldn't like
for
work
sure.
on improving the relationship in any capacity.
For sure.
You know what I mean? And so I'm sort of like, I wonder if that is... Like, because when I hear something like this, where it's like, oh, this person keeps talking about guys, I'm like, who cares? Meaning, like, not that this isn't a problem, but I'm saying, like, can you, I don't know what the word is. I don't know how to do it. I mean, I guess it's maybe just the redirecting what you're saying. This idea of, like, do you have to even make it a thing? That's what I mean. Not who cares, but, like, do you have to make it a, hey, yeah. I would like to tell you.
Take my hand.
Right. That's what I wonder. Like,
look at me. I need you to know that what you are doing is hurting our relationship.
Exactly.
You know what else I think you could do? And this is classic urgent care advice. You could just start being hella negative about every guy that he brings up and be like, oh, this guy? No, his forehead is too large. No. I do not like this guy. Look at his eyes off center, face not symmetrical. Like, if you're negative about every single guy he brings up, he will automatically stop bringing up guys to you because he will not want to hear about it.
Right.
This guy has way too many nipples.
Or not enough. No, one and done. One nipple, that's enough. Two nipples, too many.
What a weird standard. I would like everyone to know I have two. That's not Naomi's normal standard. But the thing I think, Naomi, you were saying is, like, maybe that's just what that friendship is. That's also, like, maybe that's just, and you have to reckon with it, like, maybe this is what it is. And
you're
have to decide
growing
whether,
out of it.
Well, you have to decide whether you want it or not, right? Maybe it's just internal work, and you're just like, is this person, am I getting enough out of them that it's worth it to keep this? I don't mean that in such a, like, a selfish, narcissistic way, but I just mean that, like, if the relationship is just like you watch this TV show and they talk about boys to you, I don't know. Is that worth it?
I don't know. It sounds fun to me. Once a week, just a couple hours, boys in a show. I mean, I could do it, right. But again, I think it depends on where you're at mood wise, which is why if you guys are saying like, does he like him or is he like fucking hating dating, so he doesn't want to talk about it, right? Like, he mm-hmm. could just be a thing where it's like, I don't want to hear about men because I hate them all. Like, it could be like one of those moods or those, you know, moments, those phases we go through.
Fair.
So who knows?
Fair. Why don't we do a voicemail?
I love it. You guys, as always, call 323-524-7839. One of three numbers I have memorized, okay? My mom Andy, and our call-in line. So give us a ring. You have a 3-minute limit, but I do like to know your emotions.
Hey guys, I need advice. My roommates, who are a couple, them and I moved in together March 2020. I've tried to get to know them during pandemic, but we are truly very different people. My problem is that they make decisions for the house without me and have each adopted a puppy after I specified that I'm down for a dog, but not a puppy. The talks of a second puppy had me fucked up. I don't understand how homegirl thinks it's more important to find a puppy to train right this moment than it is for me to feel respected in the house that I live in. I'll be moving out in the next month or two, but I don't know how to stay civil, not seek revenge, when truly I am a petty bitch. I just like to take the high road, but it's becoming hard.
Okay.
Did she cut off?
That's all we had. Okay. So.
So
that was, by the way, that was a recording. Like a voice memo that was emailed to us at couplestherapypod@gmail.com.
Okay, that's a fun way around dialing a number.
Mm-hmm.
Send a voice note.
Okay, so they're moving out soon. This is recent, by the way. This is not old.
Bitch, you're moving out soon. I don't know why your question is, how can I take the high road? Just don't. Be a petty bitch. Find little ways to make your life hell until you move out. Like, what? I don't see a problem with that. I don't see why you can't burn this bridge.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say, too, especially because I'm like, there's literally, to me, to get a puppy without the consent of everyone in the household is a violent act. A puppy is a lot of fucking work. Mm. And even if you're like, this is my puppy, that's the house puppy. That puppy barking at everything, scratching at the door. Like,
they said each, by the way, right?
Oh, yeah.
Each person in that couple got a puppy.
Yeah, they're trying to get the second puppy. And I'm just like, that is psychotic. Those people are rude. They're wrong. And I agree with Joel. They do not deserve the high road. Okay?
No.
Yeah, when they go low, you go
lower. If that dog
shits
on the floor, you move that shit right outside their door.
Absolutely.
You not into the trash. No. You move the shit elsewhere into the house, closer to where they live.
Absolutely. That's crazy.
If that dog shits on the floor, move it right outside their door. I love the rhyme. You need more advice that rhymes. I'm going to say that right here. Joel, have you ever had a roommate where you felt the need to, if not revenge, whatever is like a step or two below revenge, because they were such
them.
A shitty roommate?
Yeah, I mean, I've had some pretty shitty roommates. I mean, I had a roommate in New York who would take like 2-hour-long baths in a 3-bedroom with 1 bathroom.
No.
No.
I had to pee in a pot and dump it into the Chase parking lot outside my window, okay?
Oh, God.
Multiple times.
Multiple times,
okay?
Uh-uh.
So there was a lot of stuff that I wanted to do to him, but I never did.
Sorry I interrupted you, but like, was there ever a discussion, right? Because you're not alone, right? There's the other roommate, the third person. So y'all both needing to use the damn bathroom.
Yeah.
And a two-hour soak is psychotic when you share space like that.
Yeah.
I mean, Andy will soak, but he even soaks. He caps it at like 45 minutes.
And if Naomi needs to pee, she's welcome. I'll pull the curtain.
I mean,
she's welcome to pee.
She's
welcome to pee.
But like, oh my God. Did y'all ever say anything?
I often would say like, hey, dude, that's not cool. And he'd be like, I have to call my grandma.
What?
What?
Wait.
And he has to do it while he's in the bath.
What? Joel.
Joel, that made, hold on. When we asked for clarification, it got worse. It got more murky. We asked for clarification and he just threw food dye into.
Oh my God. He had to call his grandma.
What is the link between I need to call my grandmother and I better be in the bathtub to call her?
I wish I knew.
What kind
I
of wish fucked I knew, up
but it's
Freudian.
Just his tradition. It's just his way of life. It is his culture.
Okay.
Mm-mm. No, 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 no. No, no. Don't pull the woke card on your old roommate who.
But here's a question. Now this person would take this bath, right? But would he say, hey, I'm about to get in the bath. Does anybody need the bathroom?
Not to me.
good Lord in heaven. At the very least.
To me.
At the very least.
Yeah, a warning.
Honestly, I wish him the worst. I'm going to say that right now. I don't know if y'all are still friends or not. I don't like him.
We're not. We're absolutely not.
But Joe, you're famously forgiving.
So, because I was wondering, because I know you live alone here, and I wondered if that was like also part of the, you know, the move where you were like, this is mine. I'm grown.
I've never had good roommates, I got to say. Really? I really haven't. And I would love, like during the pandemic, there were moments where I was like, I wish I had someone here, but I'll never go back. I'll never go back to roommates.
Yeah. I could not imagine this last year. If it wasn't some, like, obviously, you know, we love each other. Like, if it was any kind of relationship that was lower on the tier than romantic, anyone who got through this is a strong person.
With that roommate.
Do you know what I mean? Like, we survived it because there's those deeper romantic bonds between us. Right.
Well, see, I was going to say, though, not just romantic, because I think even like, let's say a 2-year couple, a 3-year couple may struggle. I think specifically you and I have now been together. This was year 10 to 11 for us. And I think if we hadn't been people who we've lived together a long time, we're very comfortable. We know each other's moods. We can like, you know, there's a lot of layers. It's not enough to just be like, oh, we're a couple, because, you know, some people, they be living together trying to still be cute and trying to hide stuff. And it's like year 10 is like, Take me or leave me, honey, rent style. And so it's just like very, there'd be no other way. Because at least like when we get on each other's nerves, we can say it. Because I think that's what the undercurrent of love allows you to say stuff. Like when you'll be like, do you want me to leave the room? And I'll go, yep. He knows I still love him. I just need him not in the room. But you couldn't say that to like a roommate or, you know what I mean? So it's definitely.
So it's unanimous. Be petty.
Be petty.
Be petty for the remainder of your time in this house, because they
push it to the limit. Push it right to the limit of being like do everything you can with plausible deniability.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Absolutely. And I think, you know, also in a way, there's a lot you can blame on the puppy.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot that could, you know, things.
Maybe
can
you
be-
take a dump on the ground.
Hello. Think about that. Those options.
Like, look. Somehow the puppy took a human-sized dump.
Yeah. Who knows? You definitely are within your rights. These people are terrible to make decisions without the third person who pays bills, and to have those decisions involve a baby animal is psycho. Let's do the third one, Andy. Those people make me very mad.
Well, this might make you. Well, I don't know about mad, but.
Hi, guys. I had to send this in. I'm a longtime listener, and I trust your advice implicitly. And I thought maybe you could help. I saw this guy on Facebook in the People You May Know suggestions, and we had a few mutual friends who were just, like, acquaintances of mine, not, like, super close friends. And I thought maybe we had met before. He looked cute and kind of familiar, so I figured, why not? I'll send him a friend request. If he thinks I'm weird, he won't accept. So he accepted the friend request like immediately and sent me a message saying I looked familiar and asked if we'd met. I said I thought maybe we had because he looked familiar too. So we end up chatting and find out maybe we have crossed paths because we have a lot of things in common and even grew up in the same town. He asked if I was single. He is too. We're both divorced. So I shot my shot. I said, you seem nice. If you want to meet for a drink or something sometime, let me know. I was trying to put the ball in his court a little bit. He said he did want to meet, and he sent me his number and basically just said to let him know. And I said, okay, sounds good, and I texted back my number. He still hasn't looked at that last message. So as far as I can tell, he's going to wait for me to text him. Mm-hmm. And this is weird new territory for me. I've never friended or DM'd a stranger before, but COVID has your girl a little lonely and feeling like, what do I have to lose? So my question is, what the heck do I do now? Oh, do I text him and try to get something going? How do I address how weird and stalkerish I feel having done this and pursuing it? I feel like I'm making all the moves, which is definitely outside my comfort zone, but I also put myself in this position. So
I'm trying to figure out what to do without coming across like a total weirdo. Again, I love you guys. I trust your advice. And I hope Mabel is doing really, really well in core. Bye.
I want to throttle this person. I want to throttle this person.
I picked this specifically for you, Joel.
She has everything. I have nothing. Listen, she's concerned about making all the moves. The fact that he brought up that, like, and asked her if she were single and brought up that he was single, that is a move, my friend. That is mm-hmm. that was him putting himself in danger. Mm-hmm, okay? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And yes, she was the one who sent the friend request. He's the one who reached out and sent the message. Uh-huh. Okay? Absolutely. Like, they're on equal footing. When someone gives you their number, the correct response is to text them so that they have your number. Do not send someone your number. That would make me feel crazy. If I were him and I sent someone my phone number and they sent back their phone number, I'd be like, oh, okay.
You want to play games.
Just text him.
Yeah.
Just text him.
Yeah, and I would say, let's all stop thinking about relationships as if we're playing chess or something. Let's just...
Yeah.
Like, the idea, like, that there are games and stuff, that's, it feels so like... who's the guy with the big hat?
Mystery.
Mystery.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Pickup artist.
Yeah, it feels
guy.
Real yeah. pickup artist. Like, let's forget about... this is... romantic relationships are not... you're not playing Stratego. You're not playing Risk, okay?
The game part of it is over. The game yeah. was circling each other to figure out if you were both single, mm-hmm. okay? And that happened early on, and from there, all bets are off. It's clear that you're both into each other physically. Mm-hmm. Now you need to figure out, like, the rest of it. But you right. need to text him for that to happen.
And also, you're not as Joel has said, too, is like this, when you're saying, like, how do I deal with feeling like a stalker? You got to let it go. Because you're not a stalker. You saw a cute guy. You reached out. He reciprocated the reach out. So that's automatically, you know, let's be honest. And I know you're exaggerating a bit, but I also kind of want you to not exaggerate a bit because you're using it to talk yourself out of it. Because it's like, if you were a stalker, this would have been a person who you friended, who didn't reply, who you tried to message and you tried to poke and you whatever. No, that's not what happened.
Yeah. You friended him. He yes. reached out to you.
That's yes. not stalker.
If you were a stalker, your question would be like, how do I get this person to get rid of this restraining order? Right. That's what your question would have been.
Right. Right. So I'm like, you're not. So, you know, and, you know, you're saying this is out of your comfort zone a little bit. Okay. Well, honey, if there's one thing we done got from the last year is you got to get out of your comfort zone.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, we back in the world. We vaxxed and it's time to hit these streets. And
this is literally best case scenario for this kind of situation. Like, friending someone randomly on Facebook in the year of our Lord 2021 and for it to dovetail into a date? Like, that's not happening that much anymore, honey, okay?
Right,
this isn't 2014. This is, like...
Right. I got asked out once on Facebook in 2008.
Careful now.
2008 or not.
Eight. Yeah.
Yeah, what are you looking at me for?
It wasn't you. Well, you asked me out in 2008.
Yes, I bumbled through. Is that why that's called bumble, by the way? Because you're like, what are we doing?
No.
I bumbled into asking you out, like I know. Like Mr. Magoo.
Yeah, it was very 2008.
Yeah, it was Mr. Magoo falling into a pit. And that was me asking you out in 2010.
And I didn't think that it was even asking out because I was like, it's a Facebook message. So right. to me, I was like, oh, yeah, I'll see you. Right. I was like, oh, yeah, I'll see you at McManus. You know, it was like something very like loose because I was like, it's a Facebook message.
But a woman did outright ask me out and then did not enjoy hearing about level 2 improv at UCB for the entire dinner. Weird. Weird how that's.
Wait, who was she?
She was. She produced like documentaries and
okay, sounds like a catch.
I know.
No, she was interesting. If we had met maybe later on, but like I would have had to have been already transformed by therapy, which is through Naomi. So
yeah, there's no
it
way.
It just never, the timelines net would never have worked out.
Yeah.
So sorry to this person that you had to hear about yes-anding for 90 minutes.
Had you met her like out in the world?
No, we had a mutual friend.
Oh, it was a straight up. Okay, it was a straight up like, friend, hey, okay.
Mutual friend. I think she probably liked that I had been a philosophy professor or something.
Yeah,
like
that's
that.
What I liked too. It wasn't the improv. But the thing is.
No, our first date, we just talked about Derrida and you were enthralled now.
Oh, sick. But at least, but it's like, but again, you didn't think she was a weirdo for asking. You were probably like, oh, cool, a girl asked me out.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I think like, most men are way more impressed by that. And like flattered by that than women assume. And I will say, I'm sorry, the tactical mistake here was sending your number back after he had sent his number. Because that is like, that is literally him handing the ball to you and you going, no, you.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That, yeah. Is,
yeah.
That was his signal to you for you to text him. Mm-hmm. He's not going to text you now.
Especially,
you need to do it.
Especially because, you know, you said you guys are both divorced. So that also, for me, explains some of that, him giving you his number. Because you say you're not used to it. Maybe he's out of practice, too.
Yeah.
So it's like you're both like, all right, like between COVID and divorce, it's like, have any of us been out in the game recently? So it's like you guys are just trying to figure it out. So text him.
What should she text? Now, I say a butthole pic. I say you got to make up for the fact that you messed up. By just sending your
the hole itself, a
yeah,
close
yeah. Well,
up of
a
the
little,
hole,
you know, some of the cheeks, but for context, but no, for real, sorry, for real, what?
So stupid.
Hey, it's Amy. Want to get a drink this Friday?
Yeah,
literally yeah. That. It's yeah. As simple as that.
Yes. Mm. Yes, yes, yes. You know, you can also just, hey, so my favorite podcast host told me to text you.
Yeah, why don't you just clip this part out? Send it as an MP3.
And ma'am,
him.
Don't say, hey, this is Amy if your name isn't Amy, okay? Don't take us literally. Don't be that person. Use your name.
Did what he said. He had no idea what was going on. He thought it was the wrong number.
I sent a butthole and said, hey, it's me, Amy. And none of it went according to plan. Oh my God, girl, text him. It's gonna be fine. You might as well look, and this may not be your next husband, but this will be a good practice mm-hmm. and at the very least a fun hang. You know what I'm saying? Or maybe not a fun hang and a good story. Yeah. So either way, it's like it's not the end of the world. As long as you got your own ride there and back, you can make it.
Yeah.
So that's how I feel about all kind of dates. As long as you can get yourself out, never go to a secondary location. You don't know him, and I want you to live. You sound like a white woman, and you seem delicate. Do not go to a secondary location. Other than that, go for it.
Yes. Yeah. Don't silence the lambs it. Don't help him move a couch into the back of his van.
Oh, my God. If somebody tells you that they need help finding their lost dog, you say, I can't help you, sir, but I will make a phone call. Because that's how they get you, too. They'll be like, will you help me find my lost dog? And then you, like, walk, and then they just club you over the head. So no helping people with lost dogs. Joel, I just want to say I'm so glad that your butt did not betray you for this whole hour.
I know.
You were able to talk to us for a whole hour.
So brave.
So,
brave of me to even attempt it.
Yeah. I know.
You could have not. You could have, when I wrote to say, hey, are we cool? Still cool to record this? You could have been like, no, we're not.
No.
It was within your power.
I said, no, I'm going to show up for Naomi. I said, I'm going to show up for Naomi.
Baby.
And Andy.
Well, yeah, well it's look, mostly yeah, me. That's yeah, fine. No, it. That's good. Yeah. That's good.
I understand my role.
You know?
Gardener. Fertilizer salesman. Etc.
Oh, Joel, thank you so much for coming.
Thanks for having me, guys. This has been a blast.
Yeah, you're the
Joel,
best.
It's really nice
easy
to see
breezy
you.
Beautiful.
I know. You're perfect. All right, you guys. We will see you next week.
Bye.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.